Praise the Lord. So we are still looking at the theme, authentic Christianity. And today, I have a job to speak on keeping the unity of the Spirit. Keeping the unity of the Spirit. Our main text will be taken from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. So if you've got your Bibles here, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And I'd like to start reading from verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Just make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So that's the main sermon for today. But as we go along, there are other scriptures that I would like to bring in just to help us to, you know, grasp the core of our message today. So we're looking at keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But just to clarify that we are talking about keeping the unity of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the unity of the Holy Spirit. Now that scripture we read, we've all been called into one baptism. We're all called to drink from one cup, the cup of Jesus. We're called unto one God. Now everything we do as believers is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, so it is absolutely crucial that the unity of the Holy Spirit is kept. And so we do not compromise the Holy Spirit or the operations of the Holy Spirit. Now, the scripture we've just read, the unity of the Spirit is crucial to our success in ministry. It is important to God. Why? Because our God I like to say, Father, forgive me, but let me use the word, our God is three in one. So we have God the Father, we have God the Son, and then we have God the Holy Spirit. But completely and absolutely united. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, "Let us make man." See, we see right from the beginning, even right to the very beginning of creation, as God was about to make man, he said, "Let us." So the move All three involved in creation. It says, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all. You know that. But the key thing is, in creation, God the Father was involved, God the Son was involved, and God the Holy Spirit was involved. Three of them speaking, moving, acting together in unity. In unity. And then in John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Let's hear, this is what Jesus said. He said, verily I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Does it mean that Jesus is not capable of acting on his own? We know that that's not the case. We know that Jesus, being God, is capable of acting all by himself. But again here, it's clearly seen, we can see clearly here, that he can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. To me, that speaks of unity. That speaks of oneness. That doesn't come across to me like a man who wants to grab the headlights. A man who wants to be the game changer. A man who wants to be at the center of attention. No. This is what I see my Father doing, that I also do. So it is absolutely vital to God our Father that they're operating, they're synchronizing together. And if it is important to God to operate in unity, I think it's important to us as well. And in John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus said this as well. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. So when it comes to acting, when it comes to moving, we see the Godhead, we see God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit moving together. When it comes to working, we see them moving together. When it comes to speaking, we hear them speaking together. You see, no wonder Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, encourages them to do this. They should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 7, Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 7, is a story about what happened at the plain of Sinai. The people, inhabitants of the earth at that time, they started building what we call the Tower of Babel. Now let's read. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Sinai and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. I'd like to pause there and just, you know, briefly make a few comments there. What they are doing is good. What is the intention that is wrong? You see, we can see the power of unity there. It says, come, let us build. So they gathered together. They came together as a force, united as a force. Let us build, which is good. But look at the thing. They say, this is the clause. This is where they got it wrong. It says, so that we may make a name for ourselves. And it's that make a name for ourselves. That's where they got it wrong. Let's go to the next verse, please. Thank you. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, it says then, nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we can see the power of unity. We see the power of unity. That a people that are united are a people that are unstoppable. This is what the Lord is saying there. He says then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. United people, unity, there is absolutely nothing that can defeat unity. Let's go to the next verse, please. And this is what the Lord said. Come, let us go down. Hallelujah. Praise God. He says, come. Who is he saying come to? Come. Father, Son, Spirit, come. Let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. You see, often we read this story and we say they told the Bible, they're trying to do, but we forget to see the good side of this story. The good side is that with unity and with the right motive and with God on your side, nothing can be impossible for you. You can achieve whatever you want to achieve, because if God is on your side, you will have the right desire. If God is on your side, you will do the right thing, you will seek the right things, you will go to the right places, you will say the right things, and it shall come to pass. And then again here we see how God again moved. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit moved to stop this work that these people were doing upon the face of the earth. You see, brothers and sisters, unity is crucial to the nature of God. It's crucial to the nature of God. And it is even more crucial to our survival and existence spiritually as Christians. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will not work in a broken vessel. After Jesus left his disciples and they asked him a question, shortly before he left, they asked him a question. The Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? What was his response? It's not of you to bother about that. But he shall receive power, after which the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. So then you shall be my witnesses. And after Jesus ascended, we know what happened. The Bible says they were gathered together somewhere. They were together. They were together. One purpose. United together, one purpose. Praying, seeking God, fasting, trusting, studying scriptures. And what happened? We saw and we read that the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And of course, we know the rest of the story. That story we can read in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. The unity of the Spirit. Why is it important for us to ensure that we keep the unity of the Spirit? Because it is our job. God's not going to keep the unity of the Spirit for us. God's job is to give us the Holy Spirit, which He's already done. He's poured out the Spirit on us. But it's our job to ensure that the unity of the Spirit is kept. And the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit in everyone here, we must unite, we must ensure that we're singing from the same page. We are seeing the same. We are talking the same. We are walking the same walk. The church is the only place where diversity equals unity. Out there, it doesn't work like that. Brothers and sisters, we can see the story. It's been played out before you and I in our nation. Today, everybody wants to be the person running the show. You see this, they say this one there, let's have this with the European Union, they put the name of the person who suggested it. Let's have this equal border. I don't want to go into details. But the fact is, selfishness, everybody wants to promote their own agenda. Everything you bring before them is a no. Do this is no. Why? Because it's not from me. Because I didn't suggest it, it's not going to go. Do that, no, because it's not me, it's not going to go. And that's what we see today. This unity. And we can see that it's almost, but for the prayers of the Christians, for the prayers of the saints, it's almost crumbling this nation. This nation has lost respect in the eyes of other nations. We are like a spectacle. They're just watching, and they're watching, and they're laughing. Before, everybody wants to come into the United Kingdom. Now, everybody wants to leave the United Kingdom. Because they are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. But you see, our God is in control. Our God is in control. God has told us we should not be afraid. There is a reason what is happening in this country. God has a purpose. God is going to finish what He started. God is going to return this nation to Himself. And every human agenda will fail in the name of Jesus. That's what it is. That's what it is. If this unity can cause so great a problem we're seeing today, in the physical realm, it's almost crumbling a government, then it's even worse spiritually. When we are not united, it's worse than what we see today. When I seek my own agenda spiritually, it's worse than what we see today. Why? Because whatever is happening today is going to end here on earth. But the spiritual one is not going to end here on earth, brothers and sisters. Because if as Christians, if we are not united, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit cannot come. In fact, let me retract that word. The Holy Spirit will not cannot. Because the Holy Spirit can do whatever He wants to do. But He will not function when we are broken, when we are not united. And so that is why we have a responsibility, brothers and sisters. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. That whatever God has called you to do in the house of God, whatever God has called me to do in the house of God, we must ensure the unity of the Spirit is kept. We read in the book of Ephesians 4, I like to use the word prescription Paul gave us. He says, be completely humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another. We are diverse in the church. I don't speak like the way some people speak here. I don't look like the way some people look here. I'm not as tall as some people. I don't dress like some people. But what binds us together is more than these things we see is the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. And because what binds us together is more than the way I look or better than the way I dress, why should it matter? Why should we place emphasis on the way I dress or the way I look or the way I speak or the way I talk to somebody? Yes, those things are important, as we shall see, you know, during the course of this message. But our emphasis, our focus should be on the Holy Spirit and ensuring that the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, we keep the unity of the Spirit. So I've written here, so why keep the unity of the Spirit? One, it's a prerequisite for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We saw that in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 10, keeping the unity of the Spirit is effective for the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to us. Because if you read 1 Corinthians 12, we see each of the gifts of the Spirit that were given to us by God. They are all being operated by the Holy Spirit. I like to use the word, they are being administered by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the administrator of God. Is it a gift? Is it a prophecy? Interpretation of tongues? Wisdom, healing, all. The Holy Spirit is in charge. He is in His church. He's washing. He's administering. He's dishing out the gifts. He decides it. So today, I'm going to give you that gift. He decides it. Based on our availability and our faith, He gives the gift. So you take this, and as He gives it to you, gives it to me, He's washing us. Washing me, how am I operating the gift? He administers it for the common good of the body of Christ. And in Psalm 133, I'd like to read that. I'd like us to read Psalm 133. Psalm 133. It says, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. We see what unity can do there. And we know Aaron, being the high priest, is symbolic. We're not going to go to that. But what I want to say here is, it is good. It's peaceful. Isn't it? When people dwell together. Look at us here, we're all sitting here all nice and quiet. It's peaceful. It is good. When people dwell together, when brethren dwell together. And he likened that to the dew of Hermon. He said it's like the oil that was poured on the head of Aaron, which speaks of the anointing, which speaks of the power of God. Because when the anointing of God comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, then it comes with everything. Say, for there the Lord commanded his blessings. Let's name it. Although he specifies the blessing there, it says even life forevermore. But when you have everlasting life, what more can you ask for? What other blessings do you want when you have everlasting life? And you see, brothers and sisters, if God is willing to give us everlasting life, if he is willing, which he has already done, to give us his one and only son, Jesus, what else will he not be willing to give us? What are we trusting God for? God's blessings are released when we dwell together in unity. Okay. So how can we keep the unity of the Spirit? We go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'd like to read verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, please. There are four things there, four parameters, which I'd like to bring out. The first one is humility. It says, be completely humble. Humility doesn't mean you go out looking shabby. We've heard several sermons here. I don't even have time to go through that. But we have several brilliant sermons on the topic of humility. You see, sometimes it's good for us to just go back and listen to, you know, the sermons we have in the archives. So if you don't understand what it means to be humble, please just go back, revisit the sermons on the archive. There are several sermons there about humility. We must be. It's not something that we can negotiate. No. We must be humble. This is what Paul said. He says, be completely humble and gentle. So the first one is humility. In our dealings with our fellow brothers and sisters, we must remain humble. I think somewhere in the book of Romans, Paul said, let no man think of himself highly than he ought to. So I should not think I am higher than anybody. Because I am not. That's the truth. So let us look at one another as equal. It says, let no man think of himself higher or highly than he ought to. You see, it doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter what we do. Our roles are different in the house of God. So it doesn't matter what your role is, it doesn't matter what my role is. It doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter where I live. It's a plain sailing thing. We are all equal. That does not remove the fact that we should respect people. We must respect people. People that have been placed over us, please show respect. That we're respecting people does not mean we are beneath them. No, we're not. We show respect, and as a courtesy, that person then returns the respect. So respect is reciprocal. So I respect you, you respect me. Okay? So we show respect, then let's leave the rewarding to God. Amen. So I respect you, respect me, not because please don't respect me because I stand to preach or because I'm Edward, because I'm elder. No. Respect me because it's just nice to respect, to respect me. Alright? So whatever I do in the house of God, let God reward me. Amen. God's gonna reward me based on how I do it, based on the attitude, based on the mindset, based on my intentions and my motives. So ours is to respect. Let's leave the rewarding to God. And God is going to reward us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we also look at gentleness. Let's be gentle with one another. Let's be gentle with one another. Let's not be rash. Let's not be very quick, you know, in dealing with one another. Let's be patient. That's a big one. Let's be patient with one another. And finally, we bear with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. We're not perfect people. We're a work in progress. But if we're able to keep all these things, you will see that it's easier to relate to your fellow brother and sister without causing any grief. And let's look at some things that can bring divisions in the house of God. We open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to start from verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4, please. 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 4. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me there. If you don't, then just listen while I read, please. So there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God. So here again, we see all three of them. All three of them showing us what it means to be united. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of a word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, from verse 12, says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many members form one body. That's what we are. We are members of the body of Christ. Just like in a human body, there are different parts. The head is different. The leg is different. There are some parts you don't see. But that does not undermine their functions. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the Spirit to drink, given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body. And that is the big thing, division. You see, these things we've talked about, humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearing with one another. If we don't do these things, if we do not make efforts, we go out of our ways to ensure that we are gentle with one another, to ensure that we are patient with one another, to ensure that we treat each other in a way that makes people feel that they are both respected and loved, then what will happen is this, that there will be division in the body. There will be division in the house. And when there is division, that would affect the operation of the Spirit. It's true. I'm not happy with you. I'm going to be very practical here. I'm not happy with you. I've got something against you. Because I'm human. And humans are allowed to have something against other humans. So I've got something against you. I'm not happy with you. But we are members of the same body. But I come to the same prayer meeting with you. I sit down and I pray with you. We wonder sometimes why we don't get answers to prayers. I don't like this person. I feel I'm better than this person. You know, I put myself up there. But I sit with you in the same auditorium and we pray together. And at the end, whoever is praying, they'll say in Jesus' name and we both say Amen. Fellow brethren, we must be real. You see, Pastor Tim has said several times here, I want to make heaven. And I, Edward, I want to make heaven as well. And I'm sure we all want to make heaven. Let's be real. Let's assess ourselves. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not lie to one another. I'm not saying anything new that you've not heard before if you've been a Christian for a long time. I'm just trying to bring some things from your subconscious into your conscious memory. To see how we do things. To evaluate how certain things are done. See, we need to look out for one another. We need to show love. If we're humble, if there's something about somebody or somebody's done that I don't like, deal with it. Say something. But if you feel you don't want to say something, you don't want to deal with it, in your own quiet place, just repent, let go of the person, so that the unity of the Spirit will be kept intact. So that as a bond, you see, the Holy Spirit that connects us. I just want you in your mind's eye, like a picture. I'm not asking you to meditate, please don't. But just imagine a ring. That's the Holy Spirit. So just imagine that ring. It binds all of us together. And as the power of God comes, as the power of God flows, as we minister, it goes around. And it gets to me, my part of the ring, and there's something that's obstructing it. There's something, there's unforgiveness against somebody. There's something I've gone to talk, there's backbiting, I've gone to talk about somebody to a certain group of people. I don't like the way this person treated me. Can you imagine? They brought me before this. They did this to me in the same church. Let's not play church, brothers and sisters. If we want to be Christians, let's be Christians. If we want to serve God, let's serve God. Let's get serious about the way we serve God, the way we treat one another, because of the unity of the Spirit. Because of the unity of the Spirit, and because it is crucial to our success in ministry. And so that way, when everything is cleared, we deal with everything. Up to when we come together here, whoever stands here to lead, they say, please just have a look, check yourself if there's any sin. You don't just say it. It's because of things like this.
so that when we begin to minister, the Holy Spirit begins to move. There is no hindrance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we can do that, if we can watch out for things like these, you know, be humble, be patient, gentleness, we'll bear with one another, there will be no division in the house. And if there is no division in the body, then everything flows. If you look at the digestive system, if there is no obstruction in the tummy or in the intestine, it flows. If the mouth refuses to eat, what will happen? There will be crisis. But if there is no division, the mouth is ready to eat, you know, the food goes through the system, other parts of the body, you know, the shoulder is happy to carry the head, the legs are happy to carry the body, you know, the eyes are prepared to see, to guide the rest of the body as they go around, the hand is prepared to help. We'll minister. So just think about the functioning of the human body. And let us also translate that to the functioning of the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs to function healthily, because that healthy state of the body of Christ will remove division. And when there is no division amongst us, and we are united together, we call on God for a common purpose, we will see more of what we are already seeing in the church. Hallelujah. We're going to see more of the power of God. We're already seeing the power of God, but we will see more of the power of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's just, as I round up, let's just remember Romans. I think it was Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "Let no man think of himself highly than he ought to." Always remember that. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and let's remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we must be humble. We must be patient. We must be gentle, and we must forbear with one another to avoid division in the church, so we can keep the integrity of the unity of the Spirit intact. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you.